Alright, so we finished the last episode, or didn't really finish it, with our camping overnight stay in Breiðdalsvík. This is the...
Breiðdalsvík.
No! It's not Breiðdalsvík. It says here on the little magazine I'm holding, it says Breiðdalsvík.
No, Breiðdalsvík.
Okay.
Says on my cap. Caps okay. are smarter than maps.
Okay. Obviously, we cannot decide on... anyway, population 139.
Yeah.
In case we didn't mention that yet.
Yeah, and everyone was at the brewery.
So here, I have a like a little magazine that I took today. It's hand-picked Oyster East. So the hand-picked places to visit in the East, and there are a lot. And it says Breiðdalsvík. But whatever, we slept there in the camping ground, which is super tiny, tent on tent. But it was a really, really good night for me. I wasn't too cold. And then I woke up at around 7, I think. The Germans next to us also been awake. They fried some eggs. Typical yeah. German breakfast. We just had our muesli for the fourth time in a row. And it was super nice weather. So lucky us that the tent was wet from our last camping stay.
Yeah, but couldn't really feel it.
Yeah, but it was good that we were able to dry everything with the sun. So the sun came out in the morning. We opened the car and we hung all our towels and whatever got wet out. Because there's, I think when you go on a camping trip, there's nothing worse than 5 days of rain and everything is constantly wet and you have no option to dry it.
Yeah.
I think it's really bad. So yeah, the day number, what was this? Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So day number 4 started with us going to...
Yeah, waking up in the...
In the complete sun, yeah.
In the sun.
So what did we do on day 4? What was our first stop?
We drove to one of these fjords where the French house was. Fjárskrúðsfjörður,
I think.
You're forgetting that we went to Petra Steina Safnið first.
Yeah, that's true.
We went to the Stone Museum. And like this is a really huge museum.
Oh
in
my god,
the
what is this person?
Turning. Like cars do sometimes.
Yeah.
Turn. Yeah, we went to Petra's stone collection, which is in this like area as well. Yeah, it's like at Petra's house. Petra is this Icelandic woman who died in 2017? Was it that? I don't remember. She died a few years ago. But she has a really impressive stone collection. Which is like... What would you say it was? Like 800, 1,000 square or something?
Yeah.
Of rocks. It's like all in her backyard. But it's very nicely laid out, you know. It's not like just piles of rocks. It's like they built like a little pedestal for the rocks and all that. And they have a little... like information signs and stuff like that, and then you have houses here and there that you can go into, and they actually have like facilities, they have toilets and stuff for the people. So this is like they run it as their like little local museum, which is run by Petra's kids, which aren't really kids anymore, they're
yeah,
adults, but
adults.
But they are still her kids, but you know what I mean. And these guys actually sell the dragon glass, Hrafntinna. They're actually selling that in like super tiny quantities, even though I think it's illegal to take it out of the country. So
well, they probably they sell it to the locals.
Sure. Yes, only the locals. But they have it in these like little tiny plastic bags that you would usually think are only used to keep something illegal anyways.
Yeah.
So
but we have to mention that wherever we went, which you would think is something touristy, and almost everything that is popular you could say it's touristy. Everywhere we went, there were Icelandic families or Icelanders there. So this is just what you do. You're going to a specific region in Iceland and you just check all the places that are, you know, worth visiting. Yeah. And that's just how it is. There's nothing like touristy about going to a museum, for me at least. And of course, comparing Petra's stone collection with the one from Djupavogur, this of course,
yeah, you kind of cannot compare it.
You cannot compare it because she you walk into this backyard and it was really good weather, like we mentioned five times now, and you can see how much work, not just the stones, but they have a garden with so many plants and trees and flowers. This is so much work to keep this up. You can see all the maintenance work, the different rooms, because she also, I said to Ali, I think that she had like a collection addiction, because I think that people who collect something, they it turns into some kind of addiction. She also collected handkerchiefs, she collected
matchboxes, spiders, keychains, yeah.
birds, yeah.
Eggs from birds. So it's like this, the fine line between collector and hoarder, I guess.
Yeah. I think you become a hoarder if you don't have space for it, and if you have enough space for it, you can if you organize it nicely. That's why. Okay, we didn't. Or Ali hates the word organized because I'm constantly organizing the car.
It's like, no. It's not hoarding. Yeah. If I collect newspapers from the past 94 years and it's all organized.
No, but really, where do you draw the line between hoarding and collecting?
I
think it's not that easy.
I think sometimes the association with like hoarders is that they just collect everything. You know, it's like not some sort of like special things, but just like every single thing.
It's a ventilation gun.
Sætla blessaður.
So, Petra's museum is with an entrance fee. I don't remember what it was.
1,500. Yeah.
Which seems like a lot, but once we walked through the garden and the inside, you know, like Ali said, you have the outside area, and also the stones are kept outside all year because there's just no space inside. If you see the maintenance work and everything that goes into this, and of course, like I also said to Ali, what are you really gonna do with all these stones, you know, if your mom collected them? Of course you have to try to keep her, you know, legacy alive somehow and take care of this. Maybe her kids don't even like stones, but of course they kind of grew up with this, so they take care of the business now. It takes a lot of maintenance. They don't get they don't get any funding from the government or anything like this.
But also the thing is, like, the museum started when Petra was still there, still alive, and there were some photos from her in the museum and in the building of the museum. And it's really interesting, like, to see her story, that, like, she went to the mountains with, like, these bags and then just came back with them, like, completely full of rocks. And there's this story on one of the signs which says, like, that she brought home, like, a 40-kilo bag of rocks, and she just said, like, I did not find anything beautiful. It's like, okay, but still, you got like 40 kilos of rock, like, how does this work? And then it's such a crazy thing that she's like, because she does not just collect like small rocks, she also collects like huge rocks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she rolled them onto some stone or onto some hill or something. And just when the snow came, she put them on like sleds and just, you know, used that to slide them down. But then they stopped that because other people were coming and taking them or something. Somehow the stones kept disappearing that she was trying to save for later. So then it became more of a like a mission to get them, you know, because there is a very big stone which is dubbed to be her favorite one, and with that it was too heavy for them to take, so they had to roll it and found some place to hide it, and they used like moss to cover it and stuff. Because of course it's like, apparently in this area it's like the stone collecting business is really fierce. And you cannot have it like open for other... Wow, this is such this a cute place.
This is the thing on the map, you have to turn around and go there. Sorry, I didn't even know, this is the vending machine. Ah! Oh, we just got a new tire. No, our tire fixed, so...
Yeah.
Look at this in front of us. The mountains, the snow.
It's so crazy, it's like...
So we have to stop at this like self-check-in vending machine. Looks really cool.
It's green.
I saw it on the map.
Yeah. So she had to go home after she hit the rock and get more people to come and help take the rock home. So she used like, I don't remember what it was, but it was a lot of people, like two guys, at least three guys, maybe. Okay, we're gonna go vending machine, then we'll be right back.
Alright, so checked out the self vending machine, pretty cool. Definitely a must visit place. And yesterday after this Steina Sapnith, the stone museum, it was like museum day for us. We went further.
We already did two stone museums in two days though.
What was it, like Fasgasfjörður, where we went to the French museum?
Yeah, but I think this
Fasgasfjörður.
No, because Fjarðarbyggð or something is the like area with all of them. Like that's the, you know, region of sorts. But yeah.
So we went to the French house and French museum, and before that we went to like a handcraft store.
Yeah, which is the old like crepe stash.
Yeah. So the cool thing is that there was just the police. That when you buy souvenirs in East Iceland and it says handmade or handcraft or craft store, we really found super unique souvenirs. How would you say it? Like unique to the place we visited, which was amazing. So if you find something in East Iceland, then buy it here because you will not find it in any other souvenir shop in Reykjavik, which I know because I'm souvenir expert.
Yeah, and it's a little bit sad because like the when we went to Kolsvellir, which is the area in the south, you know, and it's like it feels like in the capital area and kind of in the south, it's all the same stuff. You feel like. You go to one souvenir store, you've been to them all, almost.
Yeah.
Of course, they have some product variations, but it often feels like they have the same imported shit from the same area. And also the thing is like, who wants to buy a, you know, souvenir from Iceland that isn't even like, sometimes it's not even Icelandic and it's not even a souvenir, it's like a plate that was imported by some guy, and I hate this, like I don't remember what it is, but it's in a lot of souvenir stores now, and it's this like Icelandic type of design, like this if you know the design RAW, you know, R-A-W, which is this like clay design thing, which I think is Icelandic, saying it now, maybe it's not, maybe it's imported as well, but it feels kind of like that, and there's this like stupid guy on these boxes always, you know what guy it is, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like everything's just imported from that guy, and it just feels like a waste, you know, it's like you're not even, you know, you go into this souvenir store and then, or like handcraft local store, which like this in Kolsvellir was advertised, and then you find out like half the stuff isn't even handmade, and the other half isn't even Icelandic.
So. Is this a sandstorm? Looks weird. Looks like a sandstorm.
Like we're driving from 25 degrees, insane sun, to go to a sandstorm.
No, we're not.
That's depressing.
All
because we already booked accommodation.
So what was cool in this craft store is there was a German woman that I talked to, and she explained
always
to me.
Cool to see
always place. Cool. And we bought some art from her because she had really, really cool things. And I'm
like
always,
guilted into buying stuff from the person that was there.
No,
you make stuff here.
It's for me. I've seen all the souvenir shops. I worked in all of them, and when I see something that I've never seen before, for me that's a treasure. And she crafted, she was like knitting, and what we bought was like a calendar with some watercolored picture, and they looked very, very nice. And
yeah,
I just love things like this that I know I will use again and again and again.
Yeah, because it's a calendar without a year.
Yeah, there
so
was
you can use it forever.
Something that I know Marie Kondo vibes, something I know will bring me joy and does not go against my minimalism. So something when I look, oh, now comes my minimalism shit again. If I look into 5 years, when I look 5 years ahead, these are not normal clouds. It looks like either something is burning or it's a sandstorm. I don't know what this
let's
is.
Let's just drive quickly and then it won't catch us.
So when I look 5 years ahead, is this something I would sort out or is this something I keep? Can we not drive so fast, please?
No,
Ali.
We can drive faster.
Ali.
What, we just have 4 good tires now, let's use them. We're not driving that fast, like 10. We're like 5 over the speed limit. If the police asks or listens, we are on the speed limit.
No, I'm cutting this out. So, yeah, that's just I'm just thinking, okay, how do I dispose of this? Do I ever want to get rid of this? Can I use it for something else? These kind of questions. I liked her art. And she explained to me that because wood in Iceland is such a rare resource, you cannot find wood anywhere. It was just all taken down in the beginning. The first settlers just took it and built, I don't know, ships or whatever they did with it. And then there was just no more woods and no more trees and no more forests in Iceland.
Yeah, but wasn't it also used to fire?
Yeah. And so they built this French house with this rare material wood and built it again at some... It was a hospital, then they built it again, used it for school, then there was a flood in this region where they built it, and now again they built it at some other place.
Yeah, it's like,
at the original place.
Yeah, it's like they built it and then they moved it.
Yeah.
And then it got damaged.
And then they moved it again. And now it's a museum and it's part of the Foss Hotel, I think.
Yeah, it's part of the hotel, yeah.
And we went into the museum. Also not very cheap, though. It was
2,100.
Yeah, 2,100.
It was a little bit pricey, but it's worth it, definitely.
It's worth it,
like,
yeah.
It's like, don't let... Because of the thing that is under the street, there's like... When you go to the lobby... You just like look to the left and there's like the start of the museum and it looks so like unimpressive. And I thought first that was it. And I was like, Jesus Christ. It's like, are we really gonna pay 2,100 to look at this? But then you go underneath to like the actual exhibition, I would say.
It's basically the story of the French... was like Catholic people were not allowed to eat, were only allowed to eat meat on some days a year and not on 166. That's why they needed fish. They could only eat fish. And that's why they needed a lot of fish. And they were fishing in the Icelandic waters came to Iceland.
Yeah, because it was, you could get a lot of fish here. And it was shorter than going to Newfoundland, which is now America, of course, the United States.
So, and they brought some doctors, or they opened like a hospital. There was like a French-speaking doctor with his wife, and so on and so forth. What is cool about this museum, you go into the, like Ali said, downstairs, and they rebuilt the belly of a ship with the actual sounds of a ship. So you have the feeling with the vibration and the sounds that you're actually in a ship with all the, you know, kind of bunk beds, smells, everything. Like it's, yeah, yeah, so it's really, you can really imagine. Then there's a movie that explains
why how, they came and what they were doing. And,
I think it's just, I think for a, there are certainly a lot of people who find this super, super boring. They just want to see, you know, waterfalls and mountains. I think just for us, we really love museums and learning more about the history.
And also, like, if there's just, like, crappy weather when you're traveling.
Yeah.
Like, this is definitely a thing to do. I mean, like, we did this and the weather outside was completely amazing. You know, it was, like, 18 degrees. Right now we're driving to Borgarfjörður Eystri. I don't know what the weather is going to be like there.
I think it's good.
Yeah, it's good, definitely, but I don't know like how good. But in Egilsstaðir, where we just left, it was like 25 degrees. And it's just pure sun.
Yeah.
You cannot, if you look now up, it's like if you don't look behind us, where this like weird dust clouds are, and you just look up, there's not a cloud in sight. You cannot see any clouds.
But for me it was okay. I told Ali many times that even though the weather is super good, I cannot stay outside for 24 hours, which we basically do right now because we're camping. So for me it's okay to go inside and out again because I'm cannot deal with the sun if I'm like 5 hours constantly in the sun. So I'm getting really, really uncomfortable. But for me it was fine. We went in the museum, we went out. We're driving a little bit further and we came into the village of Reyðarfjörður. On the way there we found a waterfall.
Yeah.
It was just super random on the road. We did not take the tunnel, we took the gravel road, which is just takes a little bit longer. And we hiked up to this waterfall and I found some blueberries in the bushes. There were a lot of blueberries, like Icelandic wild blueberries.
And then like completely just shoveling them into her face and being like, do you think they're toxic? It's
just like, I was not 100% sure, but I was pretty certain that they're okay to eat. But then once I like, ate them and they were sour, I was like, maybe they're not okay. And we're like in the middle of nowhere. But then I was sure that this is how blueberries look like. They're just smaller and maybe they were not ready, not all of them. Yeah, and we went up to this waterfall, which is beautiful. And that's why I think I love this kind of like driving around and stopping at random locations that are not in the tourist guide. You just see a waterfall. It's like, hey, let's stop here and have something to drink or something to eat. You just have your reusable water bottle with you and you just fill up your water everywhere and every spring. It's totally fine.
Yeah. And then, yeah, then we went to this place, Reyðarfjörður.
Which is a little bit... like a creepy site. You have these huge industrial barracks there, which is I think made for, they make aluminum there.
Yeah.
There's what we mentioned, right, the controversial thing with the dam that is in the highlands that I think uses the water there also for the aluminum making. And there's something controversial because this is a foreign company using Iceland for you know cheap energy and cheap water or whatever resources.
Yeah. But you can still really see, you know, like this area, Reyðarfjörður, looks like the most advanced or like the most, you know, city-like of the other fjords because the other fjords are quite small and this one is bigger. Mm-hmm. And there's a tunnel to it and all that stuff. And
because they use it for...
Probably because of this. It's probably... When it started, there was actually jobs to have there, and there were money.
Yeah.
There was money coming in, and then the town grew a lot more than the other towns around.
So we went to a Krónan there to stock up on some food, and then we had some sandwiches.
Some vegan food in pouches.
Yeah.
Steph was really happy about that. So happy that she didn't even want to try one.
No, but so yeah, this like vegan food in pouches, really good. Also, after a while, I'm getting always tired of processed food, but it's for camping, it's really convenient.
Yeah.
And then we met a local woman who told us we should take a walk at the canyon, which we otherwise would have never
figured
that out.
And the only thing, I think the only reason why, so what we did is like we went to Krónan to buy food to eat. And then we just like walked over the street and just opened up our camping table and just took out our food and just started eating just in the middle of the street, basically. Like, there's like a little park there, and there are benches, but the bench was occupied by it, so we're like, we didn't want to sit there.
And the other, it was in the middle of the sun.
Yeah, it was in the middle of the sun, and the other bench was completely in the, like, in the sun. So we just decided to find these, like, there were these big trees, and we just, you know, kind of camped underneath there. And then this woman walked past us and, you know, said like, ah, yeah, enjoy your food and all that. Like, it looks so nice what you're doing and stuff like that. And then we were just like, and then she walked away, and then we were getting ready and all that. And then she came back and said like, if you're going to the wartime museum, instead of driving there, you should like walk along the river, just all the way, because the canyon there is so nice. So we decided to do that.
And most super, beautiful walk ever, yeah, that you totally miss if you don't know it's there. It's a canyon, there are like plants and flowers, and it looks like a, it looks like some fantasy world that is just like painted kind of, there.
Yeah.
Blue, yeah, blue water through the canyon. And then you come up the hill to the wartime museum, and you see this like military car and the barracks, and it's the contrast that hits you so hard from this beautiful scenery to just the barracks of the, you know, like station, Second World War station, with, wow, look at the clouds from above. It's from the ocean.
Yeah.
It's the ocean there.
It's a sandstorm from the ocean.
Yeah, the British and American soldiers were stationed there.
Could you imagine if there was like a new island forming?
That, yes, so cool. Ali always wants new islands and volcanic eruptions.
New islands, volcanoes, fucking glacier floods.
Glacier floods,
give it,
yeah,
to me all. Like,
he's so excited.
Bring it while we're on vacation. Let us be the first ones to take a
photo. No, let's not be like that.
Can't be Instagram.
Okay, so
house.
So now you know that.
Wait, who puts a house there?
Yes, this, and they're not even trees, houses. But we're too high in the too high altitude for
yeah,
trees.
But just, can you imagine in like December? I think this is just like a clump of snow.
I cannot hear, my ears are clogged. So we went into the wartime museum, obviously.
Fucking amazing house. Look at the window.
Wait. Yes, Ali, I saw this on the map from things to do.
That house?
We can go there. Yeah, we can go there.
Sweet.
Wow. This is Vatnes, I forgot, but yeah.
This
see?
Is Vatnes.
Let's just stop there.
Let's just stop.
So, go to the wartime museum. If you're British American, or if you're just interested in history, this museum obviously was like anti-German, but that's of course because everybody else than the Germans in the Second World War were anti-German. And it's just like, it's just,
I mean, like,
we're treating, I think the Germans treat this war, like museums about this war, very differently from how Icelanders, they just like, they put it all out there and just talk about basically their experience, you know?
Yeah, because like, of course, I mean, like when you look at the history, like in Iceland, you know, the Germans and the Italians, mostly the Germans at this time, were like literally the enemy, you know.
Yeah.
And it's like you have the German like, what is it called again, submarines sinking Icelandic trolleys, like fishing trolleys and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so it's like, of course we're not gonna be like loving the Germans.
No, but
time.
I read also one story said that there was a German pilot that crashed with his airplane,
yeah,
in the mountains, and they buried him in Iceland.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, okay, why did they do this when they were so anti-German? So
this wartime
museum was really, it just explains the history, and also something that played in the movie that we saw there is that Icelanders do not treat their careless about their history, because there was a story, which was one of the main things in this museum.
Yeah, it's a
about
long movie. It's
a long movie. So we are telling you the story. You don't have to watch the whole movie. And it was about a group of British soldiers who went out for a training march or something in the winter,
crazy
horrible conditions. We told you in other episodes so many times of how snowstorms can turn out. You will not see anything. You're disoriented and you will never find your way home. Not even Icelanders will. So that's what happened with the British soldiers. And there was one family living in the mountains, in this Vetterhus, was it called?
Yeah.
And they kind of saved many of them. They were going out to tend the sheep because the storm got worse, and the British soldiers, barely surviving, saw the light of their lamp, and they started to yelling at them for help.
Mm.
And the person who saved them, which was like a boy, like a teenager, who carried them into the house... They never officially thanked them. And now, after so many years, I think in 2000, when was this? In 2011?
70 years after it happened.
Yeah, so many years after, there was finally like a ceremony with the, in the British embassy in Iceland.
Yeah,
that
where
they,
he got like a...
His family.
Plaque. Yeah. For his, like, he got like an official thank you from the British government.
Yeah, because the British never really thanked them because he basically saved their life.
Yeah, but it's like he always wanted to... He always said that the... Like, his brother did the most, like, heroic things. Which was probably his older brother. Which wasn't alive when the movie was filmed.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really interesting. I had no clue about this...
Yeah, and I had no clue how Icelanders were actually involved in the war. And of course, Icelanders got work through this, through all the barracks that were built for the soldiers. And it was just interesting to get an insight. And also the British, one of the British soldiers that they interviewed, he said he was never scared to die in Iceland because, of course, it was World War II. But he never felt threatened in Iceland or in any danger.
Yeah, because it's not like a active war zone, you know?
Yeah.
It's like they were more like conquering territory. It's like a strategic location to control the fishing paths. So that's why they never like, or at least this guy never thought like that it was going to be actually dangerous to go there and be there. So what did we do? We after this museum, we went back to go to Egilsstaðir.
We went on the way there. We went to Neskaupstaðir. That's where we recorded a little bit yesterday.
Which is
a place where tourists usually don't go because it's you cannot go any further. You go there and you have to go all the same way back because it's like a dead end, Neskaupstaðir. But it was really interesting to go there and to see. It's also a very, very small town.
Yeah. And then on the way back from there, we went to
Eskifjörður.
And there we found this cave.
Yeah, that was...
like super dark. It's a huge cave.
So there was like a mining cave.
Yeah.
And I felt like Indiana Jones because there is a part where you go up and you have this Silfurberg. Like it's a crystal, it's a stone. And this stone lies around everywhere. So you feel like in an Indiana Jones movie when he discovers some hidden... How do you call it? Hidden treasure? You know, where you suddenly have all these shiny stones lying around, but you're not allowed to take them. And we obviously did not do that. You have crystals and stones everywhere, but there's a note from also the environmental office in Iceland. It says several times that you're not allowed to disturb the mines and everything that is lying there. And I think people don't take them. You could see that people took the stones and placed
them on
some rocks.
Yeah, put them somewhere like for
where you can see them
and stuff.
And I also didn't feel like taking them. It was more like I took them in my hand and was like, wow, this is such a nice stone, but I don't know what to do with it at home.
No.
So you're probably just being really like amazed by it. And then it was so late after this, and this was just, we were driving around a little bit randomly, like not really stressed about it. And of course, not everybody has all the time to do, you know, Neskaupstaðir, and Eskifjörður to go everywhere.
If you go to Eskifjörður and to these caves, just like bring the strongest light you
own. Not your phone light, because phone light
doesn't do anything. You couldn't see anything in the cave. It was so dark, and it was so big. The cave. It's like, I was so surprised because you start out crawling almost. It's like you cannot stand. And then just in the middle of the darkness, it's so high, you can just stand upright. Depending on how tall you are, of course. It's like I'm almost 180 and I can stand, so it's pretty tall.
But also I don't really like caves. So I was not so... I wanted to go in a little bit, and then I was fine. It was also very late. We were exhausted. We still had to drive to our camping place, yeah, where we arrived, I think, at 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And then it got so cold. It was like 20 degrees during the day, and it got so freaking cold at night. And then the biggest disappointment, hadn't had a shower in 2 days. Yeah. And then this camping place was expensive, 1,700. Yep. And then for the shower, you had to pay 500 krona and you needed 100 krona coins, yeah, which we, of course, didn't have. So I really wanted to shower at least a little bit. And
but this is like the lesson we learn now with the like traveling in Iceland. It's like, you know, when you go to these like small towns, it's like this kid, this automatic sale.
Yeah.
It's like not everyone takes carts.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes you're just like screwed, like with this. It's like, because it's no problem. We're not saying that 500 krona for a shower is a lot of money. But it would have been just nice to, like, of course, we didn't know about this, so we had no clue. You can find this information online. We found it later.
Yeah, we didn't really check it out. It was just because we were driving there, it was late. There were a lot of trees. It was really beautiful on a lake, and we just built up our tent.
It kind of just felt like, you know, you had this, because it was like you had the Atlavik, which was the other campsite, which was cheaper, and it said like, yeah, but it doesn't have as nice facilities. It doesn't have a shower. So we were like, okay, so we'll go to the more expensive one that has a shower, because we thought then just that's the difference. That's what you pay for. But no, it's just apparently just the newer campsite. So that's why the facilities are supposed to be nicer.
It had warm water, which is easier for washing up your stuff.
But to be honest, like these taps they had weren't really nice.
And it's just you don't...
I can understand with with COVID, like now, they zoned it up into 3 zones.
Didn't make any sense.
And then it just turned out that, you know, like in the men's room, you know, there were these urinals, but then if you had to go number 2, you had to take a shit. There was only one toilet there, you know.
Yeah, but then you could go into the toilets, right?
There was only one. Yeah, because there were urinals, so you could pee. There were 3 of those, and just one toilet.
This is so weird. We had and 2 then, toilets for ladies.
Yeah, and then, yeah, because you don't have the urinals. But then on the next one, which was like zone A, you had all the showers and also just one toilet, no urinals as well. And then it's like, okay, so it's like we were technically in zone B, I think. It wasn't marked or anything, but we were like outside the area of zone A or something. And was it then just like, okay, we were not allowed to take showers or something?
I had no clue. It was a little bit complicated, and
it didn't really make sense. And then it was so funny because it said like there was a sign which said like, due to COVID, the jumping bag, which the kids can play on, is closed. And the jumping bag is this like huge inflatable like mattress that goes up and kids can bounce on it. And it was like, there was like a A4 white paper that said like, because of COVID, it's closed. And then it was just on. And it's like, are you going to just tell your kids like, no, it's closed, you cannot go?
It's just super weird. But yeah, this was just, we went to bed. It was really, really, really cold at night, at least for me. And then the sun came, it was freaking hot. Just like it always is with camping. And our day number 4. And stay tuned for day number 5, which we talk about tomorrow, which is today.
Let's go. Let's go. Dying.